The Right Chemistry was adapted by Val McDermid in 1999 from the second half of the novel Clean Break. Can fast-talking private investigator Kate Branigan discover who is behind a deadly case of blackmail, which also involves murder?
Nope. No. Definitely no.
But I like it.
Crumpled cream linen might be fine for a night on the res with McHucknall, but it's not going to pass at a round table potluck supper. Trust me. What about that nice navy one?
I only wear that to funerals.
Not true. You wore it to your cousin's wedding.
You've forgotten the husband already.
The Right Chemistry by Val McDermid. Once upon a time, not too long ago, we took a day out in Manchester. We all fall down, there's not enough hours in a day.
You'd think I'd have learned by now, wouldn't you? Being a private investigator means you're supposed to be able to figure things out. But I still hadn't worked out that mixing my boyfriend Richard with my cases always leads to complications. Some people blame the parents. Me, I blame the clients.
Cole Follier, he won't give his name.
Did you tell him we don't do matrimonials?
Of course I did. I'm not the one who's premenstrual.
Kate Branigan, how can I help you?
This is an extremely confidential matter.
We're noted for our client confidentiality, but I do need to know who I'm talking to.
My name is Trevor Kerr. I think the company I run is being blackmailed.
I'm sorry to hear it. Why don't I come round to your office this afternoon and have a chat about it?
Christ, no. Last thing I want is for them to find out I'm talking to a private detective.
Fine. So you come to me.
They could be following me.
I know how disturbing threats can be when you're not accustomed to being on the receiving end. Perhaps we could meet on neutral ground. Say, in the lounge of the Midland?
No, not in public. It's got to look completely normal. Have you got a boyfriend, Miss Branigan?
Welcome to Wyfield, where the houses are more Frankenstein than Frank Lloyd Wright.
That's it over there. The one with more turrets than Windsor Castle.
Aren't you glad we're poor?
Welcome to the potluck supper.
We're not here for the beer, love.
We've an appointment with Trevor Kerr.
I guessed you weren't with the round table.
I'll take it from here, Susan. I'm Trevor Kerr, follow me.
Said the spider to the fly.
Perhaps your friend would like to go downstairs and help himself to the buffet.
I don't think so.
Mr. Barclay's my associate. Anything you say to either of us will be held in confidence.
That's right. I'm not just scenery.
If you say so, son. Right, brass tacks. I run a company called Kerr Chemicals, who manufacture industrial cleaning materials as well as a few domestic products for supermarket own brands. Anyway, about a month ago I got a letter. As far as I can remember, it said that I could save Kerr Chemicals' reputation for a modest sum of money.
I take it you didn't keep the note.
You can't blame me for that. Thought it was some crank. Words cut out of newspaper and sellotape to a bit of paper.
No one's blaming you, Mr. Kerr. What's happened since to make you take it more seriously?
A man's died, hasn't he, Mr. Kerr?
Huh?
Technically, yes. But there's no evidence there's any connection.
A man dies after opening a sealed container of your products. You've had a blackmail note and you don't believe there's a connection.
Suppose you give us your version of events, Mr. Kerr.
Last week we had a phone call from the police. They said a publican had dropped down dead at work. Like your sidekick said, you just opened a fresh drum of Stericare.
Stericare?
It's a cleanser. One of our biggest sellers. Anyway, it turned out this bloke died from cyanide poisoning, so it can't have been anything to do with us. Not something we've got any call for. Never had it in the works.
But?
This morning this came.
Bet you wish you'd done what you were told. We'll be in touch. No cops, we're watching you. On the face of it, it looks like your correspondent carried out his threat. Why haven't you taken this to the police, Mr. Kerr? Murder and blackmail, that's what they're there for.
There's nothing to show I didn't cobble this together myself to get off the hook. The police aren't going to waste their time looking for industrial saboteurs you don't believe in. Anyway, the note says no cops.
So you want me to find your saboteurs?
Can you?
I can try.
Sorry to interrupt, Trevor, but we're about to distribute the treasure hunt clues, and I know how you hate to start at a disadvantage.
Be right there, Susan. My office, 9:30 tomorrow morning.
I thought you were worried about me coming in the office.
I'll tell my secretary you're from Health and Safety. Those nosy beggars are always poking round when they're not wanted.
And I thought heavy metal bands were dickheads.
They are. And while we're on the subject, how come you knew about the Stericur death?
Not much point in having the Evening Chronicle delivered if you don't bother reading it.
Some of us can't pretend that lying on the sofa smoking joints and reading the papers is work.
Buy me dinner, and I'll tell you all about it.
Freeloading journalists never miss a chance, do you?
Are you going to eat all the crispy duck?
Only if you don't start telling me about the dead man.
Joy Morton. Ran a pub called the Cobb and Pen in Stockport. Used to be a third division footballer.
Footy. I might have known there'd be a reason why the story's stuck in what remains of your spliff-addled brain.
You want to hear about this or not, Branigan?
Spill, I'm listening.
Joy was a real aleman. Never let anybody else near the cellar. He went down to clean his pipes, and when he hadn't reappeared by opening time, his wife went down to give him a rollicking. She found him lying dead next to a newly opened drum of Stericur.
Nice start to the lunchtime trade.
Apparently it was cyanide poisoning, so Officer Dibble is treating it as a suspicious death.
Weird.
Sensible, I'd have thought.
No, I mean the escalation. Only one blackmail note and then straight to murder. It's a bit extreme.
Maybe they didn't mean to kill anybody. Just give them a bit of a nasty turn. Past the ribs.
In that case, cyanide's a strange choice. As far as I can remember, the fatal dose is pretty small. And you couldn't just stick it in the drum and wait for someone to open it. You'd have to rig up some sort of device that would release it into the liquid to produce cyanide gas when the drum was opened. It's a lot of trouble to go to.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of nutters out there.
And half of them end up as my clients.
Branigan & Co. Investigations and Security. How may I help you?
Morning, Shelley. I'm on my way to Trevor Kerr's factory for a full briefing. I need some background on him and the company. Can you do me a company search and see if any of the usual suspects have got any dirt on him?
Would that be before or after I do the VAT return?
Before, preferably.
At least that way you'll have time to do a memo explaining what some of these receipts are for.
Sorry, Shell, you're breaking up.
Trevor Kerr kept me waiting, of course. You have to keep the hired help in their place, after all. I wouldn't have minded so much if it had at least been offered a cup of coffee, but I suppose that would have blown my cover as a representative of the hated Health and Safety executive.
Well, so, what do you need from me?
Have you recalled the rest of the batch that was involved in Joey Morton's death?
Of course. We've already had some back, and there's more due today.
Good. I want to see that, as well as the dispatch paperwork relating to that batch.
Well, that's not a problem. See me secretary.
And you're sure you don't use cyanide in any of your processes?
I told you, no way. Cyanide does have industrial uses, but mainly in plastics and electroplating. Never even had it in the building.
Okay. Going back to the original blackmail note, did it include any instructions about the amount of money they were looking for or how you were to contact them?
Well, they didn't put a figure on it, no. I was supposed to be standing beside a public phone at Piccadilly Station that Friday night.
Pity you didn't call me in then.
I told you, I thought it was a crank. Some nutter trying to wind me up. No way was I going to give him the satisfaction.
You see, what worries me is that to go straight from one failed blackmail attempt to murder is not a normal pattern. Blackmail is an arm's length crime, murder isn't.
Well, so what are you saying?
Maybe the person behind this is more interested in destroying you and your business than they are in making money.
Oh, great.
There's no way to say this that doesn't sound melodramatic, but have you any enemies, either personally or professionally?
You don't murder people over business. Well, not in my line of business, anyway.
Murder might not have been on the agenda. Your enemy might have hired someone to do the dirty, and they, in turn, might have hired someone else. Somewhere along the line, the Chinese whispers could have taken over. So, is there anybody who might want Kerr Chemicals to go down the tubes?
Well, to be honest, we're a pretty small fish. Most of our rivals are big multinationals, and if they wanted us out of the marketplace, they'd just come to the family and make us an offer we couldn't refuse.
Has anybody left under a cloud? Any unfair dismissal claims pending?
We paid their redundo. Nobody had any complaints on that score. I'd have known, believe me. Nothing happens under this roof that I don't get to hear about.
You said it's a family firm. Any chance that another member of the family wants to discredit you? Make it look like Kerr Chemicals isn't safe in your hands?
That's a hell of an accusation.
It's not an accusation, Mr. Kerr. Just something to think about. Now, something else that you mustn't take personally. Are you married?
Of course I am. 3 children, been married to the same woman for 16 years.
So there are no ex-wives or ex-girlfriends lurking around with an axe to grind?
Bloody hell, who's paying your wages, me or a wife?
I'm only doing my job. If you don't level with me, it'll probably end up costing you more of my time in the long run.
What is it, Doreen?
Reg Unsworth is here, Mr. Kerr.
I'm in a meeting, for God's sake.
He says it's urgent, to do with a recalled product.
Why didn't you say so? Send him in. Reg is my production manager.
I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. Kerr. It's about the Stericare recall.
Well, spit it out, man.
Well, it's a bit confidential, like.
It's all right. Miss Brannigan's from the Health and Safety. She's here to help us sort this mess out.
We sent out 483 drums with the same batch number as the one there was the problem with. Only, well, so far we've had 627 back.
Usually people hire me when something goes missing, not when they suddenly acquire more of something than they should have. We ended up on the factory floor. The first thing that hit me was the smell. It was a bit like driving past the chemical works at Ellesmere Port, with one of those synthetic air fresheners in the car. The ones that make you feel a rotting polecat under the driver's seat would be preferable. The next thing that hit me was the humidity. I felt like a damp wash that's just been dumped in the tumble dryer.
The drums that have been returned, are they all sealed or have some of them already been opened?
Some of them have been started on. The batch went out tail end of last week, so that's not surprising.
And no one else has reported any adverse effects?
Not as such.
But?
What are you on about, Reg?
Well, a couple of the wholesalers and one or two of the reps had already had containers from that batch returned.
Why was that?
Well, customers complained.
What sort of complaints? Why am I only hearing about this now?
It's only just come to light. They said the Stericare wasn't up to its usual standards. One of them claimed it stripped the finish off the flooring in his office toilets.
He should tell his workforce to stick with proper ale. They'll have been pissing that foreign lager all over the bloody tiles. This is the warehouse.
Yeah, the forklift trucks and the pallets full of chemicals sort of give it away.
You see that conveyor belt over there? The full drums get stamped with the date and the batch number as they come through. Then they're seal wrapped in pallet loads and either shelved or loaded. Reg, where have you started recalls?
The next half hour was about as interesting as a fourth division football match to a visually handicapped Patagonian. I finally escaped, leaving Trevor Kerr with the suggestion that he get one of his chemists to analyse a random sample of the returned containers. Whatever they found, I was willing to lay money it wouldn't be more cyanide.
I bought pizza.
Nice to see you supporting my efforts at losing weight.
Oh, sorry, I forgot.
That's because I'm just a machine to you.
No, it's because you need to lose about as much weight as Kate Moss. So, what do we know about Kerr Chemicals?
Nothing I'm going to tell you until you promise to sort out the receipt so I can do the back returns.
All right, I'll do it as soon as I've eaten my pizza.
Kerr Chemicals was founded in 1934 by Josiah Kerr, grandfather of our client. They made soap. Trevor's father, Hartley, was a chemist and moved them into the industrial cleaning market, and it's still a family business.
So much for the nuts and bolts. What's the gossip?
Trevor is, by all accounts, a complete and utter pillock with reputation for groping, in spite of which he does a reasonably astute job of running the company. Never been a history of industrial problems, no reported dissent within the family, except that Trevor's mother always votes against him at board meetings on principle.
So it's not a boardroom coup we're looking at. Can you...
Brannigan and Co. Investigation...
Is she there?
Who's calling?
This is Trevor Kerr. I need to speak to Kate Brannigan now.
One moment, please. I'll see if she's free. Kate, it's the pillock.
I better see what he wants. Mr. Kerr, Kate Brannigan, you have some news for me?
I could ask you the same thing, since I'm paying you to investigate this business. My lab people have come up with a result from the analysis I asked them to carry out.
And?
A bloody nightmare.
Cyanide?
No, caustic soda. And fine-grade abrasives. Not only would the mixture not clean anything, it would ruin half the surfaces you applied it to.
Are we talking cheap chemicals that are readily available?
A bloody sight cheaper than what we put in Stericare. So what are you going to do about it?
Your killer's a counterfeiter. Either they're trying to wreck your business, or they're simply after a quick buck.
Oh, give the girl a coconut. Even I got that far. What I'm paying you to do is to find these tow rags while I've still got a business left. You hear what I'm saying? Find them, or there won't be a pot left to pay you out of.
I'm doing my best, but we need to go to the police with this fresh information.
Are you mad? That's what I'm paying you for, to keep the police out of it.
They need to know there really is a saboteur at work. It's a murder inquiry. You can't withhold evidence like this.
Well, you earn your crust. You go and talk to him.
I really think...
Get it sorted. Go and talk to that Inspector Jackson.
And you have a nice day too.
Wait a minute, where are you going?
I've got to go and talk to the old Bill about a murder investigation.
What about the VAT return?
Believe me, Shelley, I'd rather be doing the VAT return.
God, you'd do anything to get out of that.
The copper in question is Cliff Jackson.
Oh, dear.
If there's one thing your average copper hates more than becoming the middleman in a domestic, it's being put on the right track by a private eye. And Cliff Jackson was seriously average. The first time one of my cases ended in murder, he was running the show. He hadn't exactly covered himself in glory, twice arresting the wrong person before I uncovered the real killer. You'd think he'd have been grateful. Think again.
So you see, it looks like someone's got it in for Care Chemicals and Joey Morton just got in the way.
And you thought we couldn't work that one out for ourselves? You slay me, Brannigan. I take it you plan to keep sticking your nose into police business.
I'm being paid to investigate the industrial sabotage.
This is a possible murder inquiry. There's no place for you poking your nose in where it isn't wanted.
In case you've forgotten, it was me that came to you. I'm trying to be helpful.
Duly noted. It's our job now. I don't want you muddying the waters again, so stay out of it, or I'll have no hesitation in having you arrested for obstruction.
I'll do my job, Inspector. And when I've done it, I'll tell you where you can find your killer.
I was still fizzing when I got back to the car, so I decided to kill two birds with one stone. Down the Thai boxing gym, I could work off my frustration and maybe pick up some professional advice too. It's not just a gym, you see. It's also my friend Dennis's corporate headquarters. He retired from Major League Villainy a few years back, but he's still into a bit of ducking and diving. And because we're mates, he tells me what I need to know. Like the fact that no self-respecting villain would bother faking cleaning fluid. And like copies of Rolex watches, there's no margin in it. Which made what was happening to Kerr Chemicals look more and more like a grudge match. Straight people take it very personally losing their jobs. Especially if you're one of those boffins whose expertise goes out of date faster than a supermarket ready meal. Which reminded me, it was time for a cappuccino and a biscotti.
This had better be important.
I've spoken to the police, who were very interested to hear about the fake Stericare.
You pulled me out of a production meeting to tell me that?
You mentioned you'd had a round of redundancies.
So? I also told you that they all got what they were owed.
I wondered if anyone who'd gone out the door was subject to a golden handcuffs deal.
Well, there must have been a few, I suppose. It's standard practice for anybody working in research or in key production jobs.
I'll need a list.
I'll speak to Doreen.
Fax it to my mobile. The number's on my card. That's the miracle of modern technology. I could sit around sipping cappuccino in my favourite coffee shop, avoid Shelley and the VAT return, and still pick up my faxes via my mobile and my laptop. I was contemplating a second cup when Doreen the Dragon Queen did her stuff. There were three lab technicians and four research chemists who'd walked out of Kerr Chemicals, bound by the terms of their redundancy payoffs not to work for any direct competitor. Doreen had obligingly included home addresses and phone numbers. Time for me to do some serious research. Good afternoon, Mr. Smart.
Hello.
My name's Mary Dodds. I'm a researcher working for the European Community Regional Fund. I understand you were recently made redundant, and I wondered if you'd mind sparing me a few minutes to run through some questions.
Why not? I've got nothing better to do.
So you have to wonder what the point was in getting all those qualifications in the first place when all they do is throw you on the scrap heap.
I do sympathise. Thank you very much, Miss O'Donnell. I appreciate your help. My inquiries revealed that one lab assistant and two chemists were still kicking their resentful heels in the dole queue. The fourth chemist was no longer at the address Doreen had supplied. It looked like I had no shortage of suspects. The only trouble was, I couldn't run surveillance on all of them simultaneously.
Chill out, Brannigan. There's no need to shout.
God, you look as stoned as the woman taken in adultery.
You should try it. You wouldn't get so strung out then.
Yeah, but I've got this unreasonable desire to be aware of what's going on around me.
No, you've just got this total inability to relinquish control. So how's the case of the poisoned publican coming along?
To be honest, I'm a bit stalled. I've got a list of suspects and no way of really narrowing them down.
Where did this stuff come from, anyway?
What do you mean? It came from Kerr Chemicals.
Not the dodgy stuff, surely. Where did Joy Morton get it from in the first place?
Hang on a minute. It's in here somewhere. And according to what the cops told Trevor Kerr, Joey Morton's wife said he always bought supplies from Filbert Brown. There's nothing dodgy about them. They're a national chain of trade wholesalers.
Well, either there must be something dodgy going on with them, or else Joey bought his cleanser off the back of a lorry somewhere else. Whatever, somebody out there knows where that drum of Sturry Kerr came from.
Of course. Oh, God, I'm being so slow today.
It's because you don't like Trevor Kerr. Your subconscious doesn't want to hand its inspiration over to you.
Have I told you, Leggy, that I love you?
Don't suppose you'd let your fingers do the talking.
Considering it was the middle of the morning when all of us small business people are supposed to have our noses firmly to the grindstone, Filbert Brown was surprisingly busy. It reminded me of one of those cut-price, cheerless supermarkets we've imported from Europe. The ones that are cheap to shop in because they never sell anything you'd want to buy. I wandered up and down the aisles getting a feel for the place. I was struck by how prominent Stericare was among the cleansers. Prime position on the shelf and plenty of it stacked there at eye level. Compared with the other care chemical products I could see, Stericare was king of the castle. I didn't know why I wanted to know the reason for that, but I did. What I needed now was a pretext. I headed back to the car for my high-tech information gathering equipment. It's amazing what people will tell you when you've got a clipboard.
Yes?
Customer services.
That's what the sign says.
I'm sorry to trouble you. I'm doing an MBA at Manchester Business School. I'm interested in specific areas of sales and marketing. And I wonder if I might have a word with your stock controller.
You've got an appointment, have you?
I'm afraid not.
You need an appointment.
You see, it's a bit of an emergency. I've been let down by someone in one of the big chain DIY stores. And I need to get my initial research done this week. Can you just ring through and see if it'd be possible?
We're a bit busy just now.
Please?
It's a waste of time.
If they're too busy, I could always make an appointment for later.
Sandra, it's Jackie at Customer Services. There's a student here who says she wants to talk to you. Of some project or other. You will?
I could see Sandra had really ruined Jackie's day. Nothing annoys customer services more than being of service to customers. The woman who arrived a few minutes later smiled as she approached me. So, no threat to Jackie's job there.
I'm Sandra Bates, stock controller. How can I help you?
I'm doing an MBA at Manchester Business School and I'm doing some research into marketing.
Hmm.
What I need is a few minutes of your time so you can run through your shelf allocation principles.
Oh, no problem. Come up to my office.
I really appreciate this. I know how busy you must be.
Oh, you're not kidding. But this business needs more women who can give the boys a run for their money. When I was doing my business studies degree, it was almost impossible to get any of them to spare any of their precious time. Right. Just give me a second. Right, what can I tell you?
How do you decide what goes where on the shelves?
The general order of the products in the aisles is ordained from above, based on market research and psychological analysis, would you believe? It's the same way that supermarkets decide you get the fruit and veg first and the booze last. I mean, those of us who actually do the shopping know that your grapes get crushed by the six packs of lager.
I suppose they figure that once you've cruised the aisles, you feel like you need a drink.
Oh, too true.
So what decisions do you actually make at shop floor level?
What we decide is what goes where within each section. The received wisdom is that items placed at eye level sell best. All our checkouts are computerised and I can access all the product figures from here. When a particular line starts to outstrip its rivals, it automatically goes to best shelf position.
Are there any exceptions?
Good question. Yes, lots. For example, if a company's product has been knocked off the top slot, they'll offer us a loss leader prize for a limited period in exchange for getting prime shelf space again to try and re-establish their supremacy.
Is that what Kerr Chemicals have done with Stericare?
I'm sorry?
I was having a browse around before I asked to see you, and I couldn't help noticing how prominent Stericare was.
With that guy dying after he opened it, I'd have thought their sales would have gone through the floor.
Oh, yeah, well, it's always been a popular seller with us. I suppose our customers haven't seen the stories.
I'd have thought Kerr Chemicals would have recalled it all.
They recalled one batch, but we're confident their product is perfectly safe.
Well, I wouldn't buy it.
Yes, well, there's no accounting for customer preference. Now, if there's nothing more, I've got a lot on my plate.
I was back on the street inside a minute. I didn't care. The mere mention of Stericare had shifted Sandra Bates from cooperative sisterhood to nervous hostility. Something was going on that I didn't understand. If there's one thing I hate, it's things I don't understand. Still, there was always Gizmo. If Judy Garland was born in a trunk, Gizmo was born in an anorak. He's a nerd's nerd, a telephone systems engineer by day and a hacker by night. He also comes cheap, because he loves poking around in other people's computer systems in the same way that some men love blondes with long legs. Afternoon, Gizmo.
Hello.
I wake you.
Been up all night.
Yeah, it's a hard life being a dark side hacker.
Yeah, tell me about it. What do you want?
I need a back door into Philbert Brown's computer system.
Who's he?
They're a chain of trade wholesalers. Can you do it?
Oh, I expect so. If you want full access, it'll cost you.
How much?
1.5
I think the client can stand the 150 quid. Done deal. How soon?
A few hours.
Sooner the better.
They always get me in the opera house.
That's because you still haven't figured out they can shoot you even when you're underwater.
If you're so smart, show me how you get past the gunman with the dogs. Saved by the bell.
Hello?
I've dumped the details you wanted in your email. Encrypted, of course.
Of course. Thanks, Gizmo. I'll drop off your money tomorrow. Sorry, soldier. You'll have to retire hurt. I need my machine.
Thought we were supposed to be having a quiet night in.
We are. I promise I'll be very quiet.
Be as loud as you want. If you're going to work, so am I. There's a new rap club in Rushome with a DJ that's supposed to be top man. See you when I see you.
Mm. Chances are I'll still be hammering away at this when you get back.
I know who I'd rather be.
Right. Let's see where this takes us.
Run it past me again. My brain's obviously suffered terminal damage from doing the VAT return.
I love the way you never nag me. Right, here's how it goes. Once I finally made it through into Sandra Bates' personal data, I discovered that she has overall responsibility for display decisions for all the Philbert Brown warehouses in the northwest, not just Manchester.
Ah, which gives her a lot of power.
Right in one. So, thought I'd better find out what she was doing with it. And I discovered that she had a hidden file lurking in among the invoices.
If it was hidden, how come you found it?
Because I'm smarter than she is, okay?
If you say so. So, what did the hidden file have to say for itself?
Just let me backtrack first. About 2 months ago, Philbert Brown trebled their Stericare order, which is odd, but not inexplicable. Mm. What was inexplicable was they didn't increase the amounts on each order. What they did was multiply the number of orders.
Well, that's crazy. That way you're multiplying your delivery costs, surely.
Right again. Next thing I looked at was till receipts. And that's when I really started to get suspicious. According to what Sandra Bates herself told me, any increase in orders should have been sales-led. But the receipts for Stericare didn't start to pick up until after the stock was on order.
Maybe Kerr Chemicals was doing a special promotion on them.
Nope, I checked.
So what then?
Invoices, which is where the plot really thickens. And that's where the hidden file comes in.
You're going to have to get to the point quick before you lose me altogether, Kate.
The hidden file contained the invoices for 2/3 of the Stericare on the shelves. Everything was identical to the other invoices except for one crucial detail. Can you guess?
The bank details were different.
How did you figure that out?
It's obvious. Wherever Sandra Bates was getting her extra Stericare from, it wasn't Kerr Chemicals. She had to be paying the source somehow. So what are you going to do now?
What I would have done last night if Richard hadn't come home to find me asleep at the mouse. I'm going back into Philbert Brown's computer to look at Sandra Bates' personnel file.
Hey, isn't that a bit dodgy during working hours? Haven't you got enough already to hand it over to the police?
Well, you know Cliff Jackson isn't going to believe me unless I give it to him gift-wrapped. And I doubt Trevor Kerr would understand the first thing about hidden computer files. Besides, I've got no admissible evidence so far. All I got last night was obtained illegally, so I have to find a way of making it honest and transparent before I talk to either of the Neanderthals. 10 minutes on the computer and I knew where Sandra Bates went to school, where she did her degree and that she was earning about £2,000 a year, more than the tax man thinks I am. I also had her address, so I decided to go and take a look while she was at work. Chances were, I was going to have to stake her out if I was going to uncover her contact, and I wanted to be sure of the lie of the land first. Alder Way was a quiet street of 1930s semis. I marched boldly up the path of number 37 and knocked on the door. There was, of course, nobody home. I took a stroll up the path at the side of the house, and that's when I struck gold. Hanging on Sandra Bates's washing line were two pairs of overalls. Time for a bit of subterfuge. That's a technical private investigator's term for lying.
Yeah?
Sorry to trouble you, but I'm supposed to have a job interview with a guy called Richard Barclay. The address I've got's number 37, but there doesn't seem to be anybody in.
You must have got it wrong, love.
Ryan! Stop that now!
No, love, the bloke next door is called Simon. Simon Morley.
I don't suppose he's the one looking for a personal assistant. I mean, I've not got the right address and the wrong name.
I shouldn't think so, love. Simon works in a factory these days. I don't think he'd have a lot of call for a personal assistant.
Ryan, if I have to tell you again!
Sorry, love, I've got to go.
Don't be sorry, love. I think you just made my day. Simon Morley's name had rung so many bells I felt like Quasimodo. I double-checked the paperwork just to be sure, but I'd been right. The one redundant research chemist from Kerr Chemicals that I'd failed to track down was called... Yes, that's right, Simon Morley. Now I knew what I had to do next. Damn! Hello?
Where are you?
Outside Sandra Bates's house, why?
There's been another Stericare death.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, God, yes. Trevor Kerr's been on the phone shouting the odds. He reckons it's all your fault for not solving the case. He's going absolutely ballistic.
Call him back. Tell him to meet me at the office as soon as possible. I'm on my way. Meanwhile, find out as much as you can about what's gone down. Oh, shit. In Liverpool?
That's right. Her name was Mary Halloran, 43... mother of two.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she ran her own commercial cleaning firm. The business was doing well, but she liked to keep her hand in on the office floor. She had a regular stint 3 mornings a week at a local solicitor's office. They found her lying on the floor next to an open container of Stericare.
Anything on cause of death?
According to the local paper hack I spoke to, the police have been very cagey. He got a tip from the pathologist's assistant that it looks like inhalation of hydrogen cyanide gas.
Again? Okay, here's what I'm...
This is all your fault! If you'd done what I've been paying you for, my company's reputation wouldn't be in tatters. I've had the police all over my factory today. God knows what the production figures will be like. You're supposed to have found the morons that are trying to destroy me, not sit about gossiping. Give me one good reason why I shouldn't fire you this minute.
Because if you do, some other private eye with half my talent is going to have to start from square one because you'll have to sue me to get one single scrap of the information I've already uncovered.
You can't treat me like that.
The woman is dead, Mr. Kerr. I feel as bad about that as anyone. So let's sit down like reasonable people and try to make sure nobody else dies.
You'd better have some answers.
Oh, I've got plenty of answers. Are you willing to listen to them?
Why else would I be here?
The bottom line is that the people who are manufacturing fake Stericare are releasing it onto the market via a scam they've got going with one of the major wholesale chains. I know how the scam works. I know who's pulling it. The only thing I don't know is where they're making the stuff.
Who is it? Who's doing this to me? I want a name and an address. I'm going to break every bone in his body.
No way.
What do you mean, no way? What the hell do you think I'm paying you for?
Mr. Kerr, shut up and listen to me. A client hires me to do a job. That doesn't mean I give them carte blanche to take the law into their own hands. Believe me, you wouldn't thank me tomorrow when you're in a police cell charged with assault and he's in a hospital bed without a shred of tangible evidence to tie him to the fake Stericare or these deaths. Unless I find his backstreet factory, all we have is circumstantial evidence.
But you've just said you
and
know
I
who it
have
is.
To tell you that because of the way I acquired some of that evidence. We're not going to be able to hand it over to the police. We need the factory. I'm not being bloody-minded.
I'm doing the job you paid me for, and I intend to finish it before somebody else dies. Do you have a problem with any of that?
Your name will be mud in this town.
What for? Keeping my client out of jail? I don't think so. Now, I suggest you get back to your factory and do what you do best, and leave me to do what I do best.
You've got 24 hours. You'd better come up with the goods, girl.
Now, there's a stroke waiting to happen.
Let's hope it holds off till he's paid our bill.
So, you've got 24 hours while you're still here.
I've got a VAT return to do, haven't I?
Next morning, I was outside Sandra Bates's house just after 7. At 7:10, Sandra left. 5 minutes later, a tall, skinny bloke in a pair of overalls came out and got into a battered white van. Simon Morley, I presume. I followed him out to Kingsway, then down the bypass to an industrial estate just outside Hanforth. I hung back and watched him park outside a unit that wasn't much bigger than a double garage. I cruised past and found an unobtrusive place to stop just down the road. Just after 9, an old banger pulled up and 2 lads in overalls climbed out. They looked like they should still be in school. You know you're getting old when even the villains start to look young. I gave it another 10 minutes, then prepared the bag that holds my video camera. Wonderful thing, new technology. The end of the bag is made of one-way fabric. I can film through it, but nobody can see what's inside. I grabbed my trusty clipboard and set off.
Can I help you, love?
Who are you looking for?
Is this Quality Craft? Only there's no name on the door, and I've got an order for Quality Craft, and I can't seem to find them.
You've come to the wrong place. This isn't Quality Craft.
Sorry. You don't know where Quality Craft is, do you?
No.
Never heard of it. I don't think it's round here, love.
Sorry to have bothered you. I had it all. Tall vats with taps on them, 2 large tubs of caustic soda, a stack of white drums identical to the ones Kerr Chemicals used to package Stericare. OK, compared to the high-tech world of Kerr Chemicals, this was a medieval alchemist's cell, but there was no doubt Simon Morley was banged to rights. Still, belt and braces never hurt, so I stayed on the stakeout. I got Mary Ward around noon, when I filmed Simon and the 2 lads loading up the van with drums of fake Stericare, which I followed all the way to Sandra Bates's branch of Filbert Brown.
Talk about bottle. 2 bodies and they're still milking the racket for all it's worth.
And that's what's wrong with this picture. I don't know Simon Morley, but Sandra Bates didn't strike me as a woman who'd go along with random murder.
Pass me the fried rice, would you? Why don't you front them up and see what they've got to say for themselves? That's what I'd do.
That's not my job, Richard. All I'm supposed to do now is hand over my report to Trevor Kerr and the cops and let them get on with it. I know you think I'm a total maverick, but when it comes to murder, I do know that it's a job for the police.
But you don't really believe they're the killers?
No, I don't. Maybe if I did go and talk to them, they might have some ideas about who's really behind the deaths. On the other hand, they might just leg it.
Set it up so they don't have the chance. Bite your reports round to the Bizzies and to Trevor Kerr, then go and see them. Time it right and Officer Dibble will arrive hot on your heels. Face it, not even Jackson's going to set my lead like this.
Hello, Sandra. Not a good idea.
What's going on?
It's too late, Sandra. An innocent woman wouldn't have tried to slam the door in my face.
You're not a student.
Correct. I'm a private investigator, currently employed by Kerr Chemicals, and we need to talk.
I've got nothing to say to you.
What's going on, Sandra?
Go away.
Sandra, I think you'd rather talk to me about industrial sabotage than talk to the police about murder. I know all about the scam.
Wait a minute. You were at the factory this morning. What the hell's going on?
She's a private detective. Simon, we need to talk. I know about the fake Stericare. I've got videos of your factory and your delivery run. I know exactly how Sandra's working the fiddle at her end. You're already banged to rights for product tampering and attempted blackmail. Do you really want 2 counts of murder adding to the list?
Let her in. Do it, love.
There's no way you can wriggle out of this. But I don't believe murder was ever on your agenda.
I haven't killed anybody.
It doesn't look that way.
Look, I admit I wanted to get back at Kerr Chemicals. Not only did they make me redundant, but they were refusing to give me a good reference because my boss screwed up a major research project. It cost the company thousands and he blamed me. Without a reference, I'll never get a decent research job again.
So you decided to take it out in blackmail?
Well, why not?
Apart from the small detail that it's illegal, nothing at all.
And what about the two people who died?
That's got nothing to do with us.
She's right. All I've been using is over-the-counter chemicals. I've got no access to cyanide. Besides, why would we kill anybody? All we wanted was to get some proper compensation out of Trevor Kerr, just a quiet backhander. Nobody else involved. The last thing we wanted was private detectives and the police involved. So why would we do the one thing that would guarantee that the police would come after us?
And what about the note? The one that came after the first death that implied there'd be more if Kerr Chemicals didn't pay up.
Oh, Sen, we shouldn't have sent that one.
You're right. I'm sorry. I thought if we pretended to be more ruthless than we were, Kerr would cough up. It was stupid. I see that now.
So if you're not doing the killings, who is?
Police! Open up!
Oh, hell. I thought about making a run for it through the back door, but the way my luck had been going, I'd probably have been savaged by a police dog. My subsequent encounter with Jackson reminded me of the old radical slogan, help the police, beat yourself up. After listening to the usual rant about obstructing the police, withholding evidence and interfering with witnesses, I needed a drink. I was only a couple of miles away from the pub where Joey Morton breathed his last, and that clinched it. If they'd gone into mourning over the death of mine host, it hadn't been a prolonged period of grief. In the gaps between the packed bodies, I got the impression of a bar that had been done out in the brewery version of a traditional country house, including the bookshelves containing all those 1930s bestsellers that nobody's read since 1941. No chance of anyone nicking them, that was for sure. I bought myself a vodka and grapefruit juice and squeezed onto a stool at the end of a table where two guys were deep in discussion.
It can't have been Ian Rush. It must have been before that.
I'm telling you, it were Ian Rush.
Actually, it was John Charles.
You what?
The first Welshman to play in the Italian League. It was John Charles.
I told you it wasn't Ian Rush. I just couldn't remember John Charles' name.
How do you know all that?
Never mind how she knows it. She's right, and you owe her a drink.
Thanks, but no thanks. I'm not stopping long. I'm surprised you didn't know the answer, though. I'd have thought a comprehensive knowledge of football trivia was compulsory for the regulars in Joey Morton's pub.
Did you know Joey, then?
Well, we met a couple of times. Hell of a shock.
Ah, you're not kidding. Now, if the lovely Gail had taken a bread knife to him, none of us would have been surprised.
The lovely Gail?
His wife. Well, widow, I suppose, now. The bottle blown with a cleavage behind bar.
That bra doesn't so much lift and separate as point and aim. A bit of a merry widow, then?
Oh, widow's weeds up until the funeral, then back to normal.
And you all thought she'd seen him off?
Oh, Gail? Rig up a drum of cleaning stuff with cyanide? Nah, she's way too thick,
Gail. Gail probably thinks that cyanide is a perfume by Elizabeth Taylor. No, if Gail had done it, it would have been the bread knife, definitely.
Them argument behind bar used to be the nearest thing you got to cabaret here.
Well, it's nice talking to you, lads. I'll see ya.
What, cobbers waiting to stop on? Oh, it's quiz night. I reckon you'd be handy.
Sorry. People to do. Things to see.
I can see how she'd have a motive for offing Joy. I mean, the prime suspect is always the spouse, isn't it?
Plus, she gets to keep the pub, which she wouldn't if she'd just divorced him.
Don't forget the insurance. Word is that Joy was worth a lot more dead than he ever was on the transfer market. But that doesn't explain Mary Halloran.
You think I don't know that?
Ooh, snappy. Premenstrual hour.
Oh, don't you start. I'm just frustrated.
I could help with that.
What, you've got some good contacts in the local paper in Liverpool?
That's not what I had in mind, Branigan.
Well, maybe not. But it would make me very, very grateful. I really appreciate you meeting me like this, Dave.
Any friend of Richard's. Besides, he's promised me a couple of tickets for R.E.M.
Obviously worth far more than anything I could offer you.
I don't know. If you find out who topped Mary Halloran, you could always tip me the wink ahead of the pack.
No promises, but I'll do what I can. So, what do you know?
Well, she was a real grafter, this Mary Halloran. The business was doing really well. Staff all said she was a great boss, good payer, dead fair. According to them, she lived for her kids and her old man Desmond, who was allegedly devastated. One of our lads went round to try for a talk with him, but he was too distraught. One of the rallies did the Rottweiler and saw him off.
Miss Desmond, what did he do?
He got his own business too. He's a photographer. Does these dead artistic and dead expensive portraits. Specialises in unusual printing techniques and special effects. Charges about 500 quid a shot. Word is he's not doing too well, just bumping along. Mary was the breadwinner in that house.
Was she well insured?
I don't know. But given the way she felt about her kids, I'd lay money that she made sure that they were well taken care of. You got any bright ideas about who offed her?
I wish I did, Dave. I wish I did. What I wasn't about to tell Dave was one of the few things I know about cyanide is that it's used in certain photographic processes. The kind of processes somebody who specialised in unusual techniques might well use. Even so, it didn't take me a lot further forward. Driving back to Manchester, I began to realise I'd been investigating this whole case back to front. I'd been so obsessed with the wood, I'd entirely lost sight of the trees. Time to go back to where I should have started. At the beginning.
Hello? I'm looking for Mrs. Morton.
You from the papers?
I'm representing Kerr Chemicals.
By yuck. It's going to cost you a lot plenty, killing Joey like that. Gail's upstairs. Go through that door marked private.
Hang on. Who are you? What are you doing here?
The cleaner sent me up. I'm Kate Brannigan. I'm a private investigator working for Kerr Chemicals.
Oh, right. You better come through, then.
Nice flat you've got here.
I'll call you back. But there's some private eye from the chemical company. No, of course not. Have they sent you to make me an offer?
I'm afraid not. Kerr Chemicals hired me to find out who tampered with their product.
Trying to crawl out from under, are they? Well, they're not going to succeed. I tell you, you better get your money up front, because they'll be out left after my lawyers have finished with Kerr Chemicals.
I do have one or two questions you might be able to help me with.
Oh, aye. Well, happen I might answer them.
Where are your cleaning materials kept?
In a cupboard in the pub kitchen.
Is it locked?
Well, why would it be? There's always spills and stuff in a pub. The staff need to clean up as and when, not leave it all for cleaner.
So, anybody who has access to the kitchen has access to the cleaning materials?
Gail? There's a delivery down here you need to sign for.
Be back in a minute.
This is DH Photographic. I'm not available right now, but if you leave a message, I'll get back to you.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Sorry about that. Right, where were we?
I wondered if Joey had any enemies.
Not Joey. He was as soft as butter. He'd roll over for anybody. Everybody just took advantage of him, right, left and centre. Well, they'll see a difference now they've got me to deal with, let me tell you. Anyway, it's not Joey you should be looking into. It's somebody at that factory.
Unlike you, Mrs. Morton, nobody at Kerr Chemicals stood to gain from Joey's death.
I think it's time you were on your way. At last. I was beginning to consider reporting you as a missing person.
I had to pick up a photograph from the Evening Chronicle archives.
Jackson's looking for you. He seems to think you might want to dot a few I's and cross a few T's for
him. Oh, some people never learn. If he calls again, tell him I'm out of the country.
Yeah, right. I'm black. I can do lying to the cops. Oh, and Gizmo just sent you a 34-page fax.
Oh, what a star that boy is. Remind me to buy him a new mouse mat for Christmas.
Would you like to tell me why Gizmo's sending us illegally obtained itemised phone bills for two Liverpool numbers and one in Stockport?
No. Somehow, I made it out of there alive. Then I got down to the serious business of checking through the phone bills for Desmond Halloran's business, his home, and Gail Morton's private line. The cross-checking was the easy bit. Soon, I had established that for the past year there had been virtually daily calls between the Cobham Pen and Desmond Halloran's business number. There were also a couple of long calls from the Hallorans' home number in the short time since Mary Halloran's death. Then I spotted something curious. A Warrington number cropped up on both bills. I checked the dates. Either Gail Morton or Desmond Halloran called the number every Monday morning, usually following a phone call between the two of them. Of course, I had to ring it, didn't I?
Warrington Motorway Motel. My name is Janice. How may I help you?
Hello. I'm meeting someone at the motel today. Can you give me directions?
Certainly. You leave the M62 at Junction 9. Stay in the right-hand lane.
Welcome to the Warrington Motorway Motel. My name is Janice. How may I help you?
My card.
Ooh. I've never met a private investigator before. I bet that's exciting.
Less than you'd think. This woman's a regular here. She comes in once a week with the same bloke.
I'm not supposed to release information about guests.
Forgive me being so personal, but how much do they pay you, Janice?
£170 a week.
A week's wages. Tax-free. No comebacks. I don't even want a receipt.
What for?
All I want to know is how often they come and how long they stay. I want to know when they're next due. I want to book the room next door to them and I want 5 minutes in their room before they arrive. There's no reason why anyone should know you've helped me.
It's for a divorce, isn't it?
Let's just say this pair shouldn't be doing what they have been doing.
They've been coming here for about a year now, Mr. and Mrs. Chester. It's usually Wednesday. They arrive separately about 2:30. I don't know when they leave, because I go off at 4:30.
And when are they due in next?
Funnily enough, they're booked in today. But I bet you knew that, didn't you?
So you could let me into the room they'll be in, then book me into the room next door? I picked up the key and headed for the lift. The whole of the second floor was eerily silent. I'd come equipped for action. I taped a small but very powerful voice-activated radio mic behind the lurid seascape above the bed. There was a gap of about 1/4 inch between the picture and the wall when I'd finished, but I didn't think Gail or Desmond was there for the decor. I took the key back to Janice, then settled in next door, linking the radio receiver to a small tape recorder. I couldn't believe myself. I felt like I was playing a starring role in the worst kind of private eye drama, staking out the seedy motel for the couple indulging in illicit sex. All I needed was a snap-brimmed trilby and a bottle of bourbon to feel like a complete cliché. And it was boring. Nothing to do but stare at the walls. About 2:20, I picked up my first signals. A door closed, then a toilet flushed. A few minutes later, the door closed again, and I heard a mumble of what sounded like greetings and endearments. Then they started broadcasting loud and clear.
I'm not half taking a risk.
You said what I told you to, didn't you?
Yes, I told my mother-in-law I needed some time on my own.
Did she think that were odd?
No.
Oh, I needed to see you, Desi. We did it, you know. We're going to get away with it. Nobody suspects a thing.
What about that private eye?
Oh, she was just fishing. Her sort can't resist letting you know if they've got anything on you. Cocky bitch. Hey, have you seen the papers?
Are you kidding? Mary's mother would die before she'd have a paper in a house of mourning.
It's the chemical company.
What? They're not accepting liability, surely?
No, better than that. Apparently somebody's been trying to blackmail them. Product tampering, they said it was. They've arrested a man and a woman.
You mean they think they committed the murders?
Probably. Well, they'll never prove it, of course, but it means that everybody will think it's them, and nobody will look twice at us now.
What a stroke of luck. The gods are on our side, darling.
They were, right from the moment Joey commissioned you to do my portrait. Then, in a year or so, when we've got to know each other because of the court cases we'll be filing against Care Chemicals, nobody will be surprised when we decide to get married.
After all, we've got so much in common.
After that, things got a lot less interesting for me. Soon they were grunting like a pair of Wimbledon champions. I pulled out the earpiece in disgust. Not because I'm a prude, but because it felt like they were shagging in an open grave. Besides, it was time to play at being good citizens.
Brannigan & Co, Investigations and Security.
It's me. Will you call Jackson and tell him I'm in room 205 of the Warrington Motorway Motel, and that the killers of Joey Morton and Mary Halloran are in room 203, and I have the evidence to put them away.
Oh, I'm going to enjoy that one.
What the hell do you think you're playing at, Brannigan?
Just listen, please.
Apparently somebody's been trying to blackmail them. Product tampering, they said it was. They've arrested a man and a woman.
You mean they think they committed the murders?
Probably. Well, they'll never prove it, of course, but it means that everybody will think it's them, and nobody will look twice at us now.
What a stroke of luck. The gods are on our side.
That was Gail Morton and Desmond Halloran. And there's plenty more.
I don't believe this.
They've been having an affair for the last year. If you check their phone bills, I bet they'd show a lot of contact. They first met when Joey hired Desmond to take Gail's picture, and there's got to be records of that somewhere. Desmond has legit access to cyanide because of his photography. There must be records of that as well. They just got lucky because Simon and Sandra were pulling their little racket at the same time.
You're enjoying this, Brannigan, aren't
no,
you?
No, Inspector, I'm not. I haven't forgotten that two people died. Now, if you want to arrest the people responsible, I suggest you go up to room 203 before they get dressed.
Don't you dare disappear again, Brannigan.
I wish I had seen Jackson's face.
No, you get scared at horror films.
It was clever, though.
It was. Nobody except Janice, the motel receptionist, knew they were having an affair, and she neither knew nor cared who they were. Okay, everybody knew Gail and Joey fought like cat and dog, but she had no access to cyanide. And although Desmond could get his hands on cyanide, he was used to pretending he was still devoted to Mary because she was bankrolling his business.
So she had motive and no means, he had means and no apparent motive. Bad luck for them that Trevor Kerr hired someone as bloody-minded as you.
But good luck for Trevor. I've saved his reputation and the cost of a legal battle with Gail and Desmond. Did I tell you they were planning to sue Kerr Chemicals?
Now that is seriously cheeky. So clever Trevor owes you big time.
And he's going to pay. Big time. With a 10% surcharge for bad manners.
Remind me never to cross you, Brannigan.
Dressed in a suit, looking like a lunatic. And we all fall down, it's not enough hours in our trip.
In The Right Chemistry, Kate Brannigan was played by Jane Hazelgrove and Richard Barclay by Matthew Dunster. Shelley was played by Catherine Hunt, Trevor by James Quinn, and Jackson by Martin Reeve. Gail was played by Laura Richmond and Janice by Caroline Subden. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Right Chemistry was written by Val McDermid and directed in Manchester by Melanie Harris. We'll be right back.